Thanks so much for listening to Five Leadership Questions today. You know, coming up, we have the Pipeline West Coast event. Now, some people say it's the best coast. I'm not really sure. But I would say in February is probably the best coast that you can go to. So go ahead and check that out at myleadershippipeline.com. It will be on February 22nd. We'll have Carrie Newoff and Eric Geiger, Tom Rayner, Albert Tate, myself, and co-host Daniel M. All of us will be out there, and we look forward to seeing you there with your team.
Welcome to Five Leadership Questions Podcast. Todd Atkins cannot get the intro out because he's laughing so much.
Because we're so amazed at the rap you just gave us.
It was outstanding.
Todd's left stroke just went viral.
I don't know that you should do this.
It's okay. His right stroke put the baby in a spiral.
You're not doing your sound effect, Todd.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all.
Sorry, but you are on the Five Leadership Questions Podcast.
Yes, you are.
Todd, why don't you finish the introduction?
You're listening to the Five Leadership Questions Podcast. I'm your host, Todd Atkins, and I'm here with Eric Geiger and Daniel M.
Yes.
Good to have you.
This is the first round of quick hitters with this particular troika of leaders.
I like it.
Quick hitters, let's knock it out.
All right. Who's got the first question?
All right. What is one thing you've read recently?
I've got two that I just read over the last week, and this is going to be a plug for Legacy of Faith Library that we published. But I've started reading through some of the classics. It's an amazing set. And one is Andrew Murray, and so I had read his work Humility before, but just over the weekend spent some time reading Humility, which when you do, you realize how much you need to be in the corner repenting and coming back to Jesus, because there's just so much junk in our hearts still, you know, even after becoming a Christian, that we need a lot of work and growth on. So that his book is really, it's really impactful. I really have enjoyed reading through it again. And then now the opposite of that, not opposite in terms of quality, but just not a spiritually driven book at all, is a book called The Opposable Mind. So just finished reading that, which is basically great leaders are able to hold completely different viewpoints in tension in their minds and then find a third solution. So oftentimes when you're a leader, you'll have a person say, hey, here, option A is the best. Someone else says option B. And according to this author, Roger Martin, in all his research on great leaders are able to see the value in both option A and option B, hold those in tension together, and choose option C. The opposable mind. They're able to hold opposite viewpoints and not necessarily have to, have one viewpoint win over the other, but learn from both viewpoints and go another direction.
So does he kind of advocate for how you can grow in that?
Yes, he does, but more than that, you walk away thinking, at least I walked away thinking as a leader, to not feel like one idea has to necessarily trump another idea, but I could hold both of those viewpoints in tension and try to grab great from both of those and forge a new path.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Todd, you give me the stink eye.
I like that.
You don't believe it.
No, I like it. And I think that, I think that I'm a person that likes to do that because, in my strengths finders, one of those is ideation and maximizer. And so a lot of the times I think it's part of it is taking ideas from different places and combining them together and making something new. But I think you can get really dangerous there, especially in today's world where everybody's got an opinion and thinks that they're equally valid.
True.
So,
well,
you just saw my brain processing it. I wasn't giving you the stink eye.
Here's what I would say. That the leader is holding two great ideas that are opposing and two tested ideas that are in opposition to not just opinions on social media or the
Facebook,
you know, or
I've
the
got
article
two opposing
that's been
opinions on Facebook.
Not that. So here's the definition. This is from the book. The leaders I've studied share at least one trait aside from their talent for innovation and long-term success, they have the predisposition and the capacity to hold two diametrically opposing ideas in their heads, and then without panicking or simply settling for one alternative or the other, they're able to produce a synthesis that is superior to either opposing idea. So one of the things he really says is a lot of the great thinking happens after the panic. And so if you just will wade through the complexity to get to the simplicity, wade through the complexity to get to the really good thinking. Anyway, that's the book.
I like that.
I recently read The Mythical Leader by Rod Edmondson. And it was a great read.
He's my boss. He is. He's one of our trustees.
He's one of our trustees. Yeah. He's all our boss.
Thanks. Technically, I'm your boss,
Ron.
Technically, I'm your boss.
Yeah, but he's my boss's boss.
Boss's boss.
He Ron is very important to us.
He's boss.
So that is not why I bring up his book, but I did recently read it, and it was neat to. I mean, he's a prolific blogger, and if you don't read him online, I can't imagine the number of people that read them. It's amazing. But there's this one chapter, he talks about seven myths. And one of the chapters, he talks about introverts. And the myth was this: leaders must have charisma and be extroverts. So he begins breaking that down. And I appreciated that chapter because although I'm not fully a total introvert, I'm kind of in the middle here. And he lists some of the most common misunderstandings about introverts. And Eric, I know you say you're an introvert, right? So I'd love for you to kind of comment on this and see if you've heard these before as well.
Todd doesn't think I'm an introvert.
Nope.
I'm in between extrovert.
You're on the cusp.
Yeah, I'm on the cusp.
I'm kind of in the middle too. Well, yeah, Todd thinks I'm an extrovert too, so.
I know. I'm just saying.
All right. Here are the, I guess, the misconceptions or misunderstandings about introverts. We are all the same. We are shy. We need more courage. We have nothing to say. We are not as intelligent because we do not speak as much. We are arrogant. You're laughing because you might have thought that about introverts before. We are arrogant, aloof, or unfriendly.
I just don't know how you would say you're an introvert reading off this stuff.
No, I'm in the middle. We need you to talk for us, and we need to change, mature, or grow as a person.
I agree with that. I think it is a massive mistake that people make when they speak of introverts, when they say things like this. They don't mean to. They'll say, you know, sometimes people, you know, you may not be a good people person. You may be introverted. Like, whoa. you just made introversion and good people person as if those two can't. There are introverted people who are great with people.
There are extroverted people who are horrible with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So I think that there, unfortunately, is still myths perpetuated about introverts. However, more and more people are recognizing that introverts are incredible leaders. Yeah. Introverts.
Yeah. Susan Cain wrote the book Quiet, which is a great read for introverts.
Yes. Yep.
And Ron, in his book, he says, okay, if you're in a meeting where there's extroverts and there are introverts, here are some suggestions he gives to the extroverts. He says, give introverts time to respond. Ask specific questions ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Let them respond in writing. Do not put them on the spot. Separate them from the most extroverted. Give them an assignment they can control. Express genuine and specific interest in their ideas. So those are great suggestions.
Genuine.
That extroverts, the
four extroverts. I like the way you said genuine.
Genuine. And here are some suggestions for introverts. All right. So if you're an introvert, you're listening to this, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I grow my leadership? Here are some suggestions. Love people. Be purposeful. Prepare mentally. Discipline yourself and reward yourself. So, I mean, like Ron writes in his blogs, he really kind of just masterfully created these lists.
A lot of wisdom. Players.
I'm going to have to answer sooner next time because y'all took forever to answer this question.
We were trying to cover you because we don't think you've read anything.
Well, I want to bring up three, which now I can't. But one of those is hashtag.
Speaking of genuine, did you drink some wine over lunch? Because you were acting crazy.
I was with you at lunch.
Todd's afternoon hair. He's like,
I was with you at lunch.
I want to talk. I had three books I want to talk about.
I did have a lamb burger. That was good. And water. You were, I was with you at lunch, man.
Something's happened since then. I don't know what.
All right. So, okay. Super quickly, I would say, one I read recently and then two I'm almost done with. So one I read recently was this amazing book by this author named Daniel M. No Silver Bullets. It really is good.
It's a good book.
Because he's...
It's a great book.
It's not about, you know... A lot of times in discipleship, we have an event or a destination mentality, and it's about setting a direction and just, you know, keep going in that direction. And he really spots some shifts that you can make in your church that really help. Like... shift from being destination focused to direction focused, mm-hmm. and just subtle things that can help move you along. That's and great. Of course he has quadrants and audits and frameworks and all the things
who
that we in Lifeway love.
Quadrants.
And then the next two books, would be one, on parenting that, I actually have to lead tonight at church. It's a Wednesday when we're recording this and I still go to church on Wednesdays and I lead a group there. Yeah. So this is 14 gospel principles that can radically change your family. Paul Tripp. I hate reading Paul Tripp.
Because you just feel so guilty every time.
Oh my goodness.
Calling was just painful.
He just is a surgeon in ripping out pieces of my heart that are... Yeah. Not pure, and that which ends up being my whole heart.
Yeah, it's like you can't read it without stopping and just praying.
No, I'm like, how am I supposed to lead? All I'm doing is, you know, hey, I say leadership is learning in front of people. Well, I guess I'm just outing myself on what a horrible parent I am every week for the next 12 weeks. So I'll have three more weeks of this. But it's a great, great read. The other one is Be Our Guest. Which is a book about Disney customer service.
Be our guest,
put our service to the test. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
In the 5LQ podcast, not only do you get good information, but some trio. Okay. Some trio
singing. That's a troika. Troika, like a barber, not trio.
A barber
shop. Troika is a Russian term for three horses that are all side by side pulling together. It's a beautiful thing. You should look
like
it up.
Another one of your references from Clueless.
Don't get me started.
Adidas.
Which we said in front of our 23-year-old intern, or not intern, assistant, and I'm constantly and consistently reminded of how old I am now. I'm old enough to remember the first book on Disney customer service.
You're also
inside
old enough to
keep rambling.
Tell us
Kingdom.
About this book.
Wait.
Inside
the
Magic Kingdom.
Were you the one that said we spent so much time?
I got mine.
Talking
right
about our three. Okay, let's do the next question.
Inside the Magic Kingdom's awesome book too, but Be Our Guest is the new updated version of Disney's customer service. If you don't know how they do customer service, you should really look at it because it's not just what we think of as the high level things that everybody sees. It's more important, the assumed values that they have and how they train people on. I mean, the very first thing you do is understand Disney traditions, and traditions is basically deep seated values that they want everybody to understand.
So you know what I'm going to do on that? I'm actually going to be at Disney in a couple of weeks.
You should read that book.
I'm going to bring my family, but I am going to throw garbage on the ground and just watch.
Set a timer?
Yeah. I'm going to see how long it takes. I'm going to Facebook Live it. It's going to be awesome.
That doesn't sound very introverted, Daniel. Maybe we should move on to question two.
Yes. What is question two, Todd?
Question two is, what is one thing that you've listened to recently?
All right. So I'm geeking
based
out.
On Eric's intro. Apparently, he's been listening to the hippity hop.
You sound like an old grandpa.
Give them young kids. Listen, give them young kiddos.
All right. So I'm geeking out about this book by Chris Voss. It's called Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. So this guy was like this FBI investigator, negotiator that would be brought in to like hold ups, to bomb situations, to all this. And it's super cool because he talks about the art of negotiating. Well, you're giving me the stink eye now.
We're about to have a performance review. I just don't know what this is about. Just kidding.
No, it's a really neat book.
No, because it sounds really
interesting. Yeah, because he shares stories of time. So for example, this one story, he was brought into this bank situation where there was a holdup and there were these two guys that held up the bank, the SWAT team, was outside of it. And he successfully negotiated the two guys out. No one got hurt. And it was so cool to see the techniques that he uses in negotiation and just the way that, I mean, just some of the common principles that he's seen. So it's a great listen. I'm listening to it on Audible.
Cool. What you got?
I've been listening to a podcast called How I Built This.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good. Yes.
I really like it.
Yeah. It is really good.
Did you listen to the one on the chipmunks?
No, I haven't listened to that one.
Just came out.
Yeah.
The couple owned 100% of the company for until the last 10 years ago.
Like Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Yeah.
Huh. Really?
It's a husband and wife. It was his dad that created it. It's fascinating to see just the ups and downs that they had in that. So love that.
Any particular episode?
Man, the Warby Parker one, the Airbnb one, all of those were good for me to hear. Very few of them have been these overnight successes. You know, the Samuel Adams beer one. I mean, they were profitable month one, but most of these movements started with a lot of hard work before fruit was ever really seen.
Yeah, and I mean, Guy Raz or
Guy Raz?
Yeah, he just does such a good job at asking questions and keeping it flowing.
We should try to get Guy Raz on the podcast.
We should. We definitely should.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
All right. Listening to, so I have to confess, I've been listening to sermons lately. I know that sounds really weird.
Todd, I'm embarrassed just now that you acted like that was a bad thing. Todd, you should want to listen to the Bible preached. It's not a bad thing.
I'm a guy who makes fun of people who listens to multiple sermons.
Okay, make fun of people who listen to the Bible.
If that's what they do all the time with their this is people who aren't developing people. They're spending more time listening to sermons and then emulating other guys, which is fine. I get that, but I've been listening a lot to Platt lately at McLean. So
yeah, big announcement there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just fun to watch and listen.
Todd's got roots in McLean, so that's your heart.
I still feel
tied. A sense of love for McLean.
And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's good, man.
I want to know what's up.
All right, so question three: what is one tool or resource that you've started using recently?
So we Ministry Grid is a part of Lifeway Leadership, and one of the things that we talk about is flipping the classroom for training. So the whole idea of, hey, watch the video.
Did you start using Ministry Grid?
That's awesome. No, that's not why I'm bringing this up.
Okay.
But that, you know, we talk about flipping the classroom a lot, where you send your volunteers, hey, here's the video, here's the lesson, and let's get together, right? It's a high tech and it's a high touch approach, and you process it together. Well, Lifeway also has a platform called smallgroup.com. All right, so my church uses that, my group uses that. And one thing that we've been doing, this is the second study that we've done this with, is we've actually flipped our life group as well. So I actually give access to the video. We're doing the Explicit Gospel by Matt Chandler right now. We just started that. We just finished a Brian Laritz one. But basically everyone in the group listens, they watch the sermon, they watch the study before they come. And then when they come, I mean, we just have so much more time to discuss the questions that the smallgroup.com team does great. And I mean, more time to pray, more time to eat. Whereas before, when we were doing a video-based study, it'd be like half of the time we'd be together, we'd be just sitting and watching. So that's been a pretty cool thing. At first, my wife and I were like, how many people are actually going to watch it? But there's such a great sense of, I guess, horizontal accountability going on that everyone seems to be watching. I mean, we even ask, and I don't lead every time, but whoever's leading that time, they ask, so has everyone seen it? And most of the time, it's like 90 plus percent of the group watches it before they come.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So I'm just looking at apps because when I think of tools, what we do is mostly digital, so it's ways to, you know, engage with each other and things like that. So I'm trying out a couple of new things. One is Rike, and that's W-R-I-K-E. And that's something like a base camp, or it's just a way for a team to keep track of each other and assignments and, you know, keep it all in one place and keeping things moving. The other one is eClincher, which is kind of like a buffer. It is like buffer on steroids. It's not the simplest interface, but it does a lot of stuff. So I like it as a tool so far anyway.
Awesome. How about you, Eric?
Man, I feel like I'm just trying to make up an answer. I don't really have
any tools.
I mean, if you look at my apps, I don't have.
I bet you don't even own a hammer.
I have a hammer. I haven't used it in a really long time, but I have a hammer. I don't really have any new apps. I'm kind of a. I mean, how many screens do you have on your iPhone?
I don't want to say.
I have three.
Okay, I have. One, two.
I mean, three. I wonder the psychology around how you organize your apps.
I'm pretty streamlined. Honestly, I use the Notes app on my phone the most.
I use Notes a lot too.
I use it the most because I'm taking notes of things to get done. Yeah. It's not like I'm drafting letters on that, but I'm this bullet point list of things to do. So that the new app for me is the Notes
app. Wait, does that come stock?
I did re-download Over app, which is really good for like throwing text over pictures really quickly.
I mean, you are the Kim Kardashian of Twitter, so it's good to have. It's good to have.
Really?
I mean, in some aspects, not the others, but.
It's good. I mean, famous for being famous. Todd's famous for being famous. Yeah. Like, Todd is so famous on Twitter. What has he done?
He's been on Twitter.
I have other skills.
Yeah, well, Todd, I mean, you got your book trending up.
Oh, that's not my book.
All right.
But that's I have a chapter in a book.
Yeah, you're in it, though.
I have the best chapter
in the book. Yeah, you're number one.
Humility by Andrew Murray.
So good. All right, next question. Who is one person who has influenced you recently?
I am in a season where I have engaged several different outside groups for some initiatives that I'm responsible for. And I have, I'll be able to talk more about those in the future, I think. But so I have some outside groups, and I have not had ever in all my years of leading more than one outside group speaking in to things that I'm doing. And I now have that for the first time ever. So that's been fascinating for me. And that's another reason the book, The Opposable Mind, was helpful, because sometimes you'll get different totally. Viewpoints, and to be able to see the strength in both viewpoints and try to synthesize something that's even hopefully best mm-hmm. for the organization.
I'm not ready to answer yet.
So this morning I was kind of processing this question, and David, you know, David in our mailroom.
Yeah.
How long has he been working at LifeWay
for? A long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's so encouraging. See him multiple times, and he just, you know, remembers my name and asks me how I'm doing. And he just kind of dropped all these packages off in my office today. But this morning, as I came to work and I was going up the elevator, he asked me on the elevator. It wasn't like, hey, how are you doing? Or how's your day? How's your weekend? Whatever. He literally just looked at me and said, what are you learning right now? What is God speaking to you right now? And don't just tell me, you know, are you growing in peace or this or that? He's like, from the Bible, what is God teaching? Like, he literally, like, on the 15-second elevator, he just...
There's one of the male guys that asks me all the time. He'll look at me and say, hey, so what you reading in your devotional this morning?
Yeah.
Give me something. Give me a word. Give me a word. Is he the older guy?
Yeah.
He asks me all the time. Of course, for a long time, he would also ask me my name, like he didn't know I was. And for a long time, I told him my name was Earl. he was a guy on our team. So it's great.
We need to have Earl back.
LifeWay is really cool, because the guy who works the mailroom can ask anybody what's God teaching you in your devotional life, which is great.
It was really cool.
And thankfully that day I had read the Bible, so I didn't have to, his will and stuff. You could actually give a real answer.
Yeah. All right. So mine would be, it's been a while back now, but we had a podcast interview with Clay Scroggins, and then he and I talked some offline, and it very, so the book that he wrote recently was How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. And that conversation and some of the principles and things from that conversation have probably had the greatest influence on my current reality, in that I am trying to like pay more attention to things and the way that I say them, and not just be strategic, but to be thoughtful.
That's good.
That's good.
All right. Last question. What is one lesson you have learned recently? So one time my daughter, I brush their teeth at night and they brush their own teeth in the morning. And I remember just sitting there on the bathtub while my daughter is getting her toothpaste ready, and she'll hand the toothbrush to me. And I was just waiting for her to do that. And I had my phone out and I was checking Twitter. And then she point blank asked me, man, or she didn't even ask me. She's like, man, adults really like being on their phone.
Oh, like, dude.
She didn't say, why are you on your phone?
Oh,
she
that
just
is said, brutal, man.
So I put it away.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Like, I'm so sorry. Cause it was literally 10 seconds for her to put the toothpaste on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't keep my phone in my pocket. I literally took it out and just checked on, because I was just waiting.
Wow.
And I was like, well, how could I maximize that? How could I just say, while she's putting the toothpaste on, how could I ask her about her day or this or that? So that was one straight to my heart, that I'm just like, I need to just kind of keep my phone to the side, at least when I'm at home and I'm with them.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Go for it.
Ty looked at me because he thought I was going to share something, because I learned something huge in a staff meeting I led yesterday when I was rebuked by my team, by everybody on my team, which is good. It's good because
I created a diagram.
They feel safe.
As a result.
They feel safe to say, nope, 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 that direction is not line up with everything you've told us for 6 years. And I'll have to share that more in the future. It was actually one of the biggest... It was actually great. We'll have to talk more about that. I think there's going to be a big, big lesson in that in the future.
For sure.
So that's a teaser for the future.
Dun, dun, dun. Suspense.
Rebuked by my own team in a good way.
So, for me, it's really, I feel like about every 3 months, I keep coming back to fundamental things. You've got to have a strategy, you've got to have a plan, and you've got to have support for everything you do. So I recently recorded a 90-second leadership thing on pressure and performance, and you know, like a almost a sigmoid curve of hey, to a certain extent, pressure is really helpful. And if you want to have high performance, you've got to have strategy, you've got to have planning. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a time in there where you need support. Yeah. And so if you're going to like, you know, turn it around, because if, in my opinion, if you're in a healthy culture, in a healthy situation, you're going to be pushed to a point, or you're going to push yourself to a point where it's actually detrimental, and then you need somebody to help correct that. It doesn't matter how clean and smooth and simple you get your strategy, or you know, your work and your plan. Ultimately, you're going to have that support. So, a lot of what a lot of what I do on Twitter, or you know, even on 90 Second Leadership, or even this podcast, you know, a lot of times we're basically learning in front of people and reminding ourselves and holding ourselves accountable to things that we're learning.
That's good. All right. Well, we've been listening to each other talk, and you've been listening to us talk and rap and sing on the Five Leadership Questions podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you'll be back.
Leave a rating and review. Wait, don't go yet. Don't hold up. Okay. So we are doing Pipeline West in the OC, that's right, Southern California, February 22nd and 23rd. So February 22nd is the actual conference day. That's Carrie Newhoff, Tom Rayner, Eric Geiger, myself, Daniel M., Albert Tate.
these people will all be bringing it for sure. You want to be there, not only because it's going to be great content, but it's February, okay? And this is California. So it's sunny at 76 is good to be at any time of year, but especially in February. Hope to see you there.